Go fast.
How fast?
I don't think we can go as fast as these cars. But we can try. My age? Nah.
Yeah.
My knees will give out.
Tight turns here.
And I'll be in the wall.
Tight turns.
And there'll be a wrecker. They'll pick me up and haul me away. I don't know how fast Liz can go. Liz Allison now joins us, Executive Vice President, Big Machine at Music City Grand Prix. They're coming to the streets of Nashville here in a couple of months. Liz, how are we doing?
I am great. I'm so excited to be on with you. You and I have so much history, and the fact that that we're still talking about racing all these years later, it's just some things never change, right?
I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but we did have a kick-ass race show for a long time in this market.
We did.
So maybe I just did pat ourselves on the back, but it was a killer show.
It was, and I just, it's so funny. I was telling somebody that that I was joining you today and just started kind of reminiscing on some of the funniest moments that we had, and some with Willie as well, and George way back in the day, and where we just completely lost our minds and on the air, or had some big crack-up sessions on the air, and so we had so many fun times. So I treasure our friendship, and certainly look back on all of that time together as just some of the best memories that I've had in radio.
Thank God Pete Weber doesn't have that blooper reel. We would, man, because he would have it out there, and we could just reference it.
He would,
believe
too.
Me.
He would.
I'm glad. He
absolutely would.
He's got the ultimate blooper reel, and Liz is not joking. We have had some pretty crazy. I mean, not to bore everybody with this, but remember when Ed Carpenter was in studio with us?
Oh, geez, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, we're not going into any details, but wow. But that, by the way, that interview, Liz, made it to Associated Press.
It did. And the funny thing for us is things that happen like that, we didn't even tee them up.
No.
It just happened.
No, it just happened.
And then we would be like, what just happened? And some of our just crack-up moments where, live radio, there's just nothing like it, right? So, I mean, like, when something cracks you up, and it's like the little kid sitting in church, and you're not supposed to laugh, and then you start laughing more because you're not supposed to laugh. And I remember one time in particular where you and I we both lost it over something, and Willie is trying to hold it together, and he's like, you could hear both of us just dying, and he's like, okay, I've lost both of my wingmen. I mean, like, we're like
help. Help me,
help
please.
Somebody, like, go to break. Do something, because these two are done. We were toast. And you just think back on some of that, and you just can't make it up, and you don't even know it's coming. And then some things that you say, and it comes out of your mouth, and you didn't intend it to come out the way it did, which I always did. That seemed like to be my problem. But it would come out in a way that was like, did I just say that? Like, I didn't just say that. I did just say that.
I think we pride ourselves in being pros, but there are times when we're like these stories we're telling right now, people are not going to be thinking we're pros. Like, these,
no, no.
Like, you guys are professionals? Well, I mean most
and
of the
we
time.
We got paid to do what we did, really?
Well, we logged a long time on the radio, so we're allowed a little blooper here, a little blooper there.
That's right. But you know what? We're still digging. We're still doing what we're doing. So all is good.
I'm glad you're coming on today, because speaking along those lines, somebody that we used to talk to back when, I don't want to say, he was an unknown, and he's Nashville's own.
He was a kid. Wow.
It was pre-marriage, pre-kid. And it was Joseph Newgarden, and we have watched him grow up in these open-wheel cars, and he's been a champ, a two-time champ, and now he is an Indianapolis 500 champ, and it was so cool to watch on Sunday.
It was so cool to watch, and for us, and I loved your post, your social post that you had out with your pictures with him, knowing Joseph and having the ability, obviously, because of what we do, but also just being able to have become friends with Joseph through the years and see his career blossom into what it has. But to see him so excited and to go into the grandstands like he did after winning, it made my heart so happy, because he works so hard. He's such a professional. And I say this with all due respect, he's buttoned up. I mean, he's very polished. He's well trained in how to deal with the media. He does a phenomenal job. To see him just cut loose and show his emotions and just put it all out there for everybody to see, it was just great. And I loved how he jumped in the stands. And when he was doing that, I was literally watching, probably like you and so many other people, going, where's he going? What's he doing?
I freaked out. And I was like, right, what just happened? Yeah.
Well, I thought he was going for the fence. I thought he was going to pull an Elio and go for the fence. And then when he went through the fence, I thought it was amazing. And to just see the emotions, I mean, and I tweeted this out myself. It's like, never have to guess how important a win, like in this case, the Indy 500 and NASCAR, the Daytona 500. There's certain wins that there's just no words to describe. And even for Joseph and for the drivers, you know, obviously Joseph had never won this before. So first Indy 500 win for him. He's wanted it. He watched it as a kid. He's wanted to win it so bad. He's missed out, you know, so closely so many times. And he even said, you know, people started really kind of doubting would he ever win and questioning him about it. And he was tired of talking about it. And to just see those emotions come out, it quite frankly, it probably maybe surprised him a little bit about how emotional he was and how much and how deeply it affected him. I just thought it was the coolest thing, and I loved every minute of it.
I can't wait to talk to him next, because I'm going to tell him, you know, he got that big monkey off his back, and so there's been so much relief. And then I'm going to apply all new pressure to him and say, when are you going to win Nashville? When are you going to win the race here in your hometown? When are you going to do that? How cool. You know, yeah. I'm just going to do that because, you know, he wouldn't expect anything less of me. Like, when are you going to win the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, Joseph? It's your backyard.
Don't you know he would love to win here? And listen, we love our series and we love all the competitors that race in our race. But, I mean, we would be lying if we said that certainly we wouldn't want Joseph to win our race. Right, he's from Nashville. He's a Nashvilleian. He's Hendersonville, so we claim him here in Nashville as well. But he's been a great ambassador for the sport. He's a great competitor. He's a great family guy. He's really all that, and I'm just really proud for him and happy for him. And you know, it's funny when you were talking about having the just through the years of having the ability to be around him and kind of see him grow and in his career and otherwise. And Joey Logano comes to mind for me, for you and I, because when we first started going out to the Super Speedway and we had our show out there for the races that would come to town, including IndyCar when it would come to town. Mm-hmm. But Joey Logano was one of the drivers that we interviewed early on that people were talking about. A lot of people didn't really know about. And I just heard him on a piece talking about Joseph Newgarden. And so it's you know, kind of interesting. We've been doing this a long time, but to talk about Joseph before he was a 2-time IndyCar champion and certainly an Indy 500 champion and Joey Logano and all of his accomplishments in NASCAR, that we've been doing this so long. We were doing it before they were, you know, we were interviewing them before people really even knew who they were. So it's great to see Joseph and certainly Joey and the other drivers that we have through the years to meet their goals and to be able to win those wins that are so important for them.
We're speaking with Liz Allison, the executive vice president of Big Machine at Music City Grand Prix, which is coming back to our city again. Well, it hasn't gone anywhere, but it'll be in the streets of Nashville that first week of August. So Justin, I'm going to turn things over to him in just a minute, Liz, and he's kind of a news guy, so he's going to get it real newsy with you. And so I'll let him ask the particular questions, yeah. But I'm gonna, you know, keep just going down memory lane with you. Your name is synonymous with racing, and who knew, right? All those pre-race shows and sometimes even post-race shows we did out at the Super Speedway track around all the events, including the open wheel cars, which were the Indy cars, which were extremely popular. Who knew? I know we talked about it. I know you just love racing in general, but, you know, who knew that now you would be involved in that sport in the capacity that you're in? Did you ever think that?
No, and it's funny because I remember when you and I met Danica for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you remember this or not, and she shook our hands, and you remember, she like, she has the strongest, like the most painful handshake ever, and she's a little thing, like she squeezes your hand in, and we were both like, dang, that's quite a handshake. So yeah, I mean, we used to love racing out at the Super Speedway when the Indy cars were there, and you and I were probably some of the most disappointed when the series pulled mm-hmm. out of that track. Mm. But you're right. I mean, I've been around NASCAR for a long time, and was certainly married into the sport, and loved my time in the sport when Davey was alive and racing and winning races. And of course, we lost him in 1993, and I took, you know, about 5 years away from the sport. You know, Darren, you and I have been such dear friends for a long time, but Robbie and Krista were 1 and 3 at the time that he passed away. So that was a time for me to survive, right? There was no, the only working I was doing was trying to survive heartache and take care of the kids. So after about 5 years, I went back to NASCAR at the urging of Bill French Jr., who was a dear friend of mine and at the time president of NASCAR and the son of the founder of NASCAR, Bill France Sr. And so I went back to NASCAR at that time and just kind of threw myself into my career and worked for NBC as a TNT as a pit reporter and started writing books and just stayed in the sport. And the one thing about NASCAR in particular for me, because that's where so much of my time was put in, is that it's a big business, but it's a small family. And when you're a part of that family, you stay a part of the family. And even though I'm working in IndyCar now, yes, and it is very different. And there's people that don't understand it. Like, what are you doing? You're a stock car girl, but I'm a motorsports girl. I'm a race fan. And that's the hat that I put on every day when I walk into the office is I'm a race fan. And so, yeah, I love NASCAR, and I loved my time there. And I'm a huge NASCAR fan, but I'm also an IndyCar fan. You don't have to be one. You can be both. I love Formula One. I mean, it's just I love motorsports. I love the competitive side of it. And so, you know, coming to work for me is I'm so blessed. I've been here since the beginning. So I joined in October of 2020. So, you know, our first race had not taken place yet. So I've had the privilege and the honor, and I'm very blessed to be here and be a part of this team as we built something that was really incredible. And each year we make it better. And I'm so excited that we're coming into year 3 because this is, you know, another opportunity to do it better than the year before and the year before that. So it's really not that different. It's different, but so familiar. And that's what I love about it. And racing to me is racing. And a lot of these people I knew anyway, there's a lot of folks, Jay Frye, you know, he's the big daddy at IndyCar, you know, as far as the series is concerned. And he came from NASCAR. And so, you know, a lot of my friends are working on the IndyCar side as well. So it just, it feels like home.
People absolutely love this event. 110,000 people over the course of the entire event last year. Of course, people still coming out of the pandemic last year a little bit. So possibly, Liz, more people expected this year, you would think. And when do you get started with building all of the bleachers and all of that going up around the stadium?
Oh, gosh, just the mention of that makes my heart start racing. It's like... We're ready, but we're not ready. So, I mean, I guess, first of all, you know, for year one, when we had our first event, we were the one of two big events that were the first to take place after COVID. So, you know, the big kind of, you know, when the world came back to life, if you will. And so everything, like we had been working that whole time when the world was shut down, you know, we were still working because we had a race that we had a target. We had a date circled and we had to keep working towards that, and it was challenging for everybody, right, during that time to work on something that didn't exist. There's no venue, and by the way, we're in the middle of COVID, and the world is shut down. So the fact that year one even happened is still shocking to me. And that's just as, you know, the city officials and the mayor's office and our team and IndyCar and everybody that took their part in year one. I mean, certainly hats off to everybody because we could not have done it on our own. So first and foremost, so from that point to go to year two, there was so much that we were really just white knuckling year one. that we were able to have that next year to truly plan and to use what we learned in year one, so good and bad. I mean, because some of the best lessons we learned are things that we did wrong in year one. So we were able to take those and really sharpen our skills for year two and see the fans, you know, that the tickets grow as far as the number of tickets that we sold and those repeat customers that were coming back, which is so important to us. Like, we love it when people buy tickets that have never been to our event before. Obviously, we're an event and we need to sell tickets, and we do that well. But for people to trust us to come back after year one and year two, that means that, you know, they're coming back because they've liked what we've done, and we hope that people feel like they're taken care of. And so that's the greatest compliment to us. So as we go into year three, we have no reason to believe that it won't be even greater than year one and year two, because we continue to grow. And as our event grows, then our fan base grows and our tickets, we go deeper in ticket sales. So we certainly expect that for this year.
I can tell you this, Liz, that year one, we made our way over there to the corner of coming when they came across the bridge. It was amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
And the people there, we were all, you know, it was packed. But the conversations that we had with people, you know, and by the way, they were so cool because my son was 2 years younger, 3 years younger. Mm-hmm. So he was a much smaller kid. People were getting out of the way, pushing him to the front. It was an amazing experience. And just feeling that roar
that
and
rush,
everything that coming up over the bridge. And is that the fastest part of the track in year one? That coming over the bridge?
Yes.
It was amazing.
Close to 200 miles per hour.
Mm.
And you know, Darren, too, when you talk about that, because I can go back to that moment, too, and just where for all of us that live here and we live in this community and we drive over the bridge or we drive around the stadium or we go to watch the Titans play or we go to a concert, whatever it is, you know, those are our roads. Those are our streets that we drive on. And when you sit there and you're like, what in the world is happening? Like, it just seems too much to even believe that it could happen, right? And so when people say, you're a 3-day event, what do you do all year long? I literally feel like I could just sit them down and would be shocked to understand what goes into trying to pull off just a 3-day event, you know, for the year. There's so much that goes into turning those streets into a race course. And you already asked the question about building the course and when that starts. We're right over 30 days now from when everything really started, as far as what your eye can see. You know, for us, we're working year-round because it takes that. We're in here, you know, just like any other job. We're in here, you know, 8-10 hours a day, year-round, working on this event because that's what it takes. You know, all those structures that are built, you know, people don't just show up and there's a race. You know, those structures have to be planned and they have to be contracted and we have to, you know, make tweaks and we have to work with the fire marshal and we have to pick out furniture and these decals have to be done. The signage has to be created. I mean, there's food has to be selected and vendors have to be picked for food and tickets have to be printed. And I mean, there's CADs are drawn and changed and there's just so much that takes place that it's just every event that I know, including what NASCAR is getting ready to host in Chicago here very shortly, which, by the way, we're building that course for them. And so a lot of people don't realize that. But, you know, our team, so we're building that. We're providing that course and we're building that course there. But, like, for the Formula One race in Vegas, like, everything that goes into it, like, I, again, hats off, because I know what goes into it. It's a lot. So for us, when you talk about standing there and watching the cars come down off the bridge, I mean, year one, tears were flowing from my eyes when the cars hit the course, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's really happening. You know, all that work that we'd done, and then you see the cars out there, and it's like, it's hard to believe, and it's such an honor to be a part of it and see it all come to life.
So, Liz, the number one thing, and Darren is right, my other job is working in the news business here at Fox 17, and the number one thing that came up in our newsroom here when talking about the Grand Prix is the building of the brand new Dome Stadium that seems to be sort of in the path of where the current course might be. And people were asking the question, and I know this is more of next year and the following year than this year, but surely somewhere in the back of your mind where you're thinking about the construction of the course and furniture and all those kind of things, this course may not look like this in the next few years because of the construction of a $2 billion stadium. And some people were asking, how could we have the race in the middle of a construction zone? What do you say to a question like that?
Well, I can tell you we're not going anywhere. Nashville is our home. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will stay right here in Nashville. We have a great sponsor with Big Machine and all of our investors and other partners and sponsors that are part of our event. We're not going anywhere. You know, IndyCar loves this market. We love this market, obviously. The fans love coming here. So we have big plans in place. We'll be super excited to share all that when the time is right. And as you can imagine, with all the planning that went into our year one event and all the planning that goes into year two and year three, we're not just sitting over here twiddling our thumbs wondering what might happen. We have lots of plans in place that are really exciting. And so we can't wait to share that when we can.
Tell you what, next time we get you on, which will be real soon, we'll get into more newsy stuff, right? We'll get into like 3-day passes, and we'll get more technical with you. Bands and music and,
you know, performers and how many stages you're going to have and, you know, vendors. Yeah.
We'll get technical, or try to get technical. How about that?
I love it. It all sounds good. We could talk about the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix all day, as far as I'm concerned. We're all good.
Liz, it's great to catch up.
Thank you, ma'am.
Like I said, you will not be a stranger to the show. We will talk soon. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is Liz Allison, Executive Vice President, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. And you need to mark that on your calendar, that first week in August, August 4th through the 6th. That is going to be quite the festival going into year three.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for year one, and it's amazing.
Mm.
It is absolutely amazing event.